And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Okay, it's time to wake up, all you people out there.
I think we're going to let this whole symphony play.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. How long does that take about?
Bah, bah. What's Paul doing in the control booth?
I think he's listening to the music.
Paul, wake up. Come on, get with it. Hey, everybody out there. This is Stan Weisleder at CRNTalk.com, The View from Over Here. And I am here together with Malcolm Berman, and we'll try to keep you people interested so you don't fall asleep. All right, what have we got for you today? Malcolm, anything on your mind?
I don't know. Let's see what. Lots are on my mind. But I don't know if I can share it with the audience because this is not an X-rated show.
It's a family show.
Family show.
Anyway, by now, most of you people out there probably have heard about the upcoming retirement of David Letterman. Okay. Who will his replacement be? Will it be another Jimmy? Because right now we have the battle of the Jimmys on late night TV. So what if we did have another one? There would be three Jimmys up there.
Do we have a good nomination for a Jimmy? I can't think of another Jimmy.
Now, about a month or so ago, one of our major publications wrote up the they did like a little quick summary of all of the TV late night hosts, and they had something about Letterman, about all of them. And the one that they that really stuck, made an impression on me, was their reference to Chelsea Handler. And they refer to her as Flamethrower.
Yeah, okay? I've seen her. I don't know.
She definitely gets my vote as the replacement for Letterman. But if they do that, you'll have to put up with a late-night TV show where just about every other word is bleeped out.
Well, they'll have to hire Paul as the editor.
Paul likes to bleep out words.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I think all the CBS is trying to get the younger demo. You know, they got the Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, you know, David Letterman. Is really
has,
you know,
anybody been proposed as a replacement that you're aware of?
Yeah, lots of people. And they talk about who would they talk about? Ellen DeGeneres.
Did they propose you?
No, I proposed me, and in fact, I'm asking our audience, you know, please
write into
CBS.
Okay, cool.
And I'll be glad to do it.
Hey, you're watching what's going on TV with this flight out of Malaysia. Flight MH370. All of these experts, each one trying to outguess each other. And the thing that puzzles me the most, why haven't we heard anything from our own U.S. Navy, which has 72 submarines, and each one of them is supposed to have the most sophisticated underwater listening devices on the planet? Now, my guess is they already know what happened, but they don't want to let it out because they don't want other people and other countries to know what sophisticated devices that they do have.
Do you think that there's really any secrets in today's day and age that people don't, other countries don't know what every country has?
There are no secrets. All you can do is maybe delay the time when it comes out. You can't delay it forever. You'll delay it for days, weeks, maybe a month. Eventually it comes out.
Well, I think the technology might be different, or people don't have the same technology, but I think they know what capabilities each country has.
Also, people talk. People talk. You can't keep a secret forever.
Oh, yes, you can. Yeah. Who assassinated Kennedy? Either of the Kennedys. That's still optional. People are talking about conspiracy.
You got a lot of versions on that one.
Yeah. So, people can't keep secrets. That's why I don't believe in the conspiracy theory, because some would leak it out. that had been there.
Yeah, anyway, aside from conspiracies, I always get tongue-tied on that word.
Say that 10 times. No, don't.
I don't think so. Listen, did you know that Doris Day just celebrated her 92nd birthday?
No, no one told me.
Well, I'm telling you, and she had a career that was amazing. She started out in 1939 with one of the big bands as a singer, and she started to hit her stride in 1945 when she made that recording, that memorable recording, Sentimental Journey, okay? Mm-hmm. That was that goes back to World War II days. And in her career, she appeared in 39 films, recorded 650 songs, and released 31 albums.
Well, according to
that?
Paul, just give me a note, she dated... He doesn't want me to do it. Look, her waving off. Okay.
She dated Paul? Holy shit. And what did she have to see in him? Don't bleep that out, Paul. You know, the other day I watched her on TV. It was a rerun about that musical she did about Calamity Jane. Howard Keel.
Yeah, she was very
good.
That
was one hell of a movie. And in it was one of my favorite all-time songs, Once I Had a Secret Love. Right. Nobody sings it like her, and nobody has sung it since.
Did that come from Calamity Jane?
From that movie, yeah, in that movie.
I was thinking that was from a different movie. But one of my favorite movies that she did, I don't know if you remember, The Thrill of It All with James Gardner.
Well, she did a series of movies like that, like pillow talk type movies, yeah. And one led to another, to another, to another. Those I didn't watch that much because they were just repeats of each other, just a slightly different plot line and maybe a different leading star, leading man. But she was good in whatever she did, really, yeah. Truly.
Actually, she's been feeling much a recluse in her latter years. I know she's very much involved with, I think, Friends of Animals or Actors for Animals. She's... You know, an active person in that, but I don't think she's really made any personal appearances.
Well, let's send an invitation to her to come on our show.
Okay. Doris, if you're listening to the show, and I know you are, you're more than welcome. Have your people call my people, and we'll arrange an interview.
And if you don't want to come into the studio, we'll do it on the phone.
In fact, we'll come over to your place and tape
it. Yes, definitely. On a sadder note, Mickey Rooney just passed away, 93. Now, there's a guy that had an incredible career, almost 200 movies and 8 marriages. I mean, those are 2 careers right there.
And 9 children.
And 9 children. The guy could play instruments, he could sing, dance, and he could also act.
Well, as a viewer of Turner Classic Movies, I think I've seen every one of his movies at one time or another in the past few years.
Well, you've seen almost 200 movies? Wow.
More. But I'll tell you, I think most people don't realize how talented he was. He was a song and dance man and played the drums with these movies with Judy Garland.
Right.
And then as a teenager with the Andy Hardy series.
Yeah, you know, he also made about 50 short films, like short subject type films. No, over 50.
Well, he played the, I think, short films, Mickey McGuire, when he was...
That one, you know, I don't remember. But we honored him in 2003 at the New York Alumni Association at Beverly Hills High School. He was the honoree.
But as we were talking earlier, I don't know if someone like Mickey Rooney really ever dies, because he will be immortalized in film. And most of us have not had the privilege of meeting him or really had or his life had no impact on our life.
Yeah, and I think when you make a film, it lives on longer than if you write a book. You write a book, okay, it's in the library, you could look it up, you could read it, but when you see a film, it comes to life in front of you.
Stan, no other way. How many books have you written?
3.
3, and when is your next movie coming out?
It's not. Oh, hey, listen, I'm a little older than you, Malcolm, and people are always asking me, when am I going to retire? You know, when are you going to really, really retire? And my answer is, when I'm dead, okay? That's when I'll retire. Now, you gave me this little item on this basketball referee who's 74 years old. The guy's from Brooklyn. His name is Dick Bavetta, okay? And he has refereed 2,633 consecutive basketball games in that time. Consecutive meaning not consecutive days, but consecutive in that he was never sick or called in absent or anything like that.
He never missed a game.
Never missed a game in 39 years. But my question is, does he dribble? And that question can be taken two different ways.
Well, I have an old joke, and we could say it because the implication is here. You don't go out with a basketball player. You know why?
No, why?
He dribbles before he shoots.
Oh.
I think that was
with
my
that one. I think we're going to go to our guest for the day. Hey, Paul, she's ready. Okay.
Are you there, Barbara?
Hello? Paul, did you say she's ready?
Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hey, speak up. Barbara Brighton, this is Stan Weisleder and Malcolm Berman.
Hi, Stan. I disconnected you by accident. It's this wonderful L.A. phone in Miami that always does that. I'm so glad you called me right back.
Barbara,
how nice to meet you.
There are no accidents. I'm sorry. Everything is destined.
Where in Miami are you?
Well, I'm in Coconut Creek at the moment, which is next to a city called Pompano, which is only a half an hour from Aventura or North Miami Beach.
Do you live down there?
I'm temporarily here, Stan. My life is temporary.
Well, good. Hey, when I was a kid, I used to go to your beach all the time.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the same as it used to be. It's a magnificent city. South Beach is not what it used to be. And it's a great place to live. There's no doubt about it.
So why are you moving to Las Vegas?
Well, that's a good opening line, Malcolm. I recently came back from doing a couple of shows there. And I've appeared there many times, but I've never lived there. And after, I know we can probably inform the audience that I lived in L.A. for 20 years.
You were my neighbor.
Excuse me?
You were my neighbor.
Yes, and the last 5 years, I was living at Horace Heights Estates where I met Malcolm. I adored Malcolm. And then I decided to make a transition back to Florida. I was only going to try a year because I felt it was time for another journey change. I'm really the wandering Jew. I haven't found a place where to wander yet.
Hey, I have an important question for you, and I'm sure you've gotten this before. I read your bio on Google, and it says that you are a Joan Rivers impersonator.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a tribute artist.
Hey, have you gotten any feedback from her, any flack, any comments, anything?
You know, I met her at the Hard Rock a few years ago, and I said, thank you very much for giving me a life, Joan. And she said, I wish I had your body. I said, I wish I had your face. And that was our conversation.
I wish I had your money.
Yeah, that's true. I must tell you, Saturday night, here at the complex I live at, which is called Winmore, it's a community of 9,000 people, I just was asked to do a gay engagement party as Joan on the red carpet.
Are you gay?
No, I have to, you know I'm not, Malcolm. But I have to tell you, it was the most beautiful event that I think I've ever done. Both sides of families flew in from all over the country to be with their kids. And I really think love is all that matters. And what I saw was perfectly beautiful. And I don't know why most people don't get it. Love is all that matters.
Okay, hold that thought, Barbara. We're coming up to a break.
30 seconds. But okay, one question which I would leave you with. During your routine at that particular wedding, did you do Joan River type jokes which would be anti what was happening?
Hold it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, okay. Sure.
You're listening to The View from over here. Heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can listen to our show on
www..
Bye.
We are back. This is Stan Weisleder, CRNTalk.com on The View from Over Here. And holding my hand here and holding me up when I start to fall is Malcolm Berman.
Talking about gay engagements.
Okay, Malcolm, let's get back to Barbara. Barbara, you're still there, I trust.
I sure am. I'm okay. Listening to everything.
You
yeah.
didn't disconnect.
You know, you, the title of your show is my favorite show, The View. I just watch it every day, and when I saw that was the name of your show, I said, well, that's interesting, The View from over here.
Yeah, where do you think we stole it from?
Well, could it be Barbara Walters' idea? I'm not too sure.
Well, in fact, I was hoping that they would sue us because we were infringing on their name.
We needed the publicity.
Well, I was hoping that one of them would pass away so I could get their spot. Listen, I wished for Joy Behar to leave that show because I would fit in perfectly. Joy Behar left the show, but they still didn't call me.
Well, so, actually, you have your chance, Gus. I understand Barbara Walters is retiring.
Oh, well, yeah, but I don't think I could take Barbara's place.
Why not?
Although she's one of... There's only one Barbara Walters, just like the icons of all icons. And when I did the talk show, you know, I remember, Malcolm, I did a television talk show from L.A.
Right.
for 3 years. And everybody would say, well, what kind of a show was it? I said it was more like Larry King style because it was talking heads. But I view myself as a cross between Barbara Walters and Joan Rivers. And taking out all the musical talents that I do possess, I used my brain, and I think of Barbara Walters as the most classy person on the air. I love Diane Sawyer. I love all the women anchors, but to me, there's nobody like Barbara Walters.
Do you imitate all of them?
What do I imitate? No, I just tribute Joan.
Oh, that's the only one. Imitate Joy Behar.
No, my God, no. She's a wonderful stand-up. I don't imitate anybody.
Barbara, I just had a thought.
Yeah. What, darling?
They're looking for a new host at the David Letterman show.
Know, but look at all the people that are waiting in line.
It doesn't make a difference. You're the most talented.
I don't have a track record for that, Malcolm. I love you to pieces, but they wouldn't even know who I am.
Well, that's it. It could be. Can you imagine the great publicity stunt that they would have? A newcomer, like, how long have you been doing this?
Right. Yeah. 100 years. 100 years. You know, before they started talking about that, I thought there should be a woman. For sure. It's time for a woman. Like when Joan did her show, and she did, remember that years ago? She
yeah, whatever happened? Show. Why didn't it last?
Show, she also did a morning show. Well, you know, the powers that be. I'm certainly not one that makes that decision, but aging, why is it such a factor in our business? Could you please tell me?
Well, they want to make sure you're going to be around when the next day starts.
No, I'm not kidding. If Johnny Carson could do 30 years, and Leno has been on forever, and why do they have to make age? Why is it a factor? I don't get it.
Well, sometimes it's not really a factor. Sometimes they just use it as an excuse.
Well, you could see.
Ratings are high, kids. You know, when ratings fail, that's one reason, but not when they're high.
Well, tell me, Wemmy, you say you want a female to take that spot. What do you think about Chelsea Handler?
So. Well, do you really want my answer? I have to be politically correct here.
No, be politically incorrect.
Not.
Go ahead.
I think not.
You think not?
Because I'm not a fan of Chelsea Handler.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she has any class, if you ask me. And you asked me, and I shouldn't say it because we're on the air, and God knows how many hundreds of people are on there.
Thousands.
But you really need to be delicate when you're in that position.
Well, we could use some notoriety. Say whatever you like.
Well, are you kidding? I'll probably never be asked to do another media show.
Well, we'll ask you.
At least I won't do Chelsea's show. She'll never ask me.
Well, I hate to say anything against your idol, but my wife listens to Fashion Police.
Yes.
The Joan Rivers.
Yes.
And she is so crude, and she's not even funny.
Oh, Malcolm.
I hope you do the old Joan Rivers, because she comes out with lines that are basically meant to shock and not to be funny.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I don't find her funny at all. I find her crude.
Well, see, that's not the kind of act I do. But I don't understand why she has the people on her show that she does. I mean, can we talk about talent?
Can we talk?
Or not?
Well, hold on.
No talent.
She says that. Can we talk?
Can we talk here? Shall I do it in Joan's voice? Everybody that's listening is probably going to think I'm, a terribly caustic person.
Hey, Barbara,
which
we just got the high sign from Paul. He's giving us a 30-second warning.
Hold on. Don't go away.
Okay.
You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can listen to back shows at www.viewfromoverhere.com. Plus, you can we have blogs, we have pictures, we have
all that
lots
stuff.
Of other things to have fun with. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay, we're back. This is Stan Weisleder in the studio here with Malcolm Berman. The name of the show is The View from Over Here, and we are on crntalk.com, which is broadcast over the entire planet and even into the far reaches of the galaxy. And our special guest today, Barbara Brighton, who is going to talk to us about, Barbara, it's your floor now. What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, Mal was just talking about fashion police being caustic as far as Joan's concerned. And you know what I've noticed since I did a talk show is it's shock TV. And that's what people tune in for, to be shocked, and they're desensitized. And people like Chelsea Handler fit into that mold. And Kathy Griffin, who I love, and I think she is very funny, extremely funny, fit into that mold. So it's not the same TV that we used to watch.
Yeah, but
or listen to a radio. Do you know do you feel that what I'm saying is correct?
Yes, I agree. Sometimes too much shock is too much.
But you know, like Howard Stern and look at Rush Limbaugh. Listen to all those people. Not that we like them, but they shock, and people tune into that. And I wonder if it's because they feel that they want to say something, but they can't, so they listen to somebody else that does.
Yeah, but Joan Rivers was funny. I mean, the materials that you do on Joan Rivers are funny, and you do it in her voice, which is she has great delivery.
But I also have it written, Malcolm. My material is written by a comedy writer, and I don't use four-letter words. I don't believe in that. I don't think that's funny. But, you know, I've seen Joan live many times, and she's hysterically funny when she uses those words.
Hey, you know, four-letter words aren't bad. I used to love Richard Pryor, and he was full of those words. It's not the
great
words talent that I object to. It's like her making comments on some of the actresses that she is reviewing.
But that's what they hired her for, Mal.
To tear apart
those dresses.
Yeah, she tears apart the dresses, but she makes all these references to I don't know how you would put it, because I can't say those words on this
Malcolm,
station.
It's not the word. What? It's how you say the word.
Yeah. And if someone would make and she makes comments about facelifts and things, I mean, she looks like if she smiles, her face is going to crack.
But that's why she makes fun of herself, just like Phyllis Diller did. If somebody makes fun of themselves, give them plaudits. You know, there's a lot of pain to go through. I would have everything done. You know what my intro is? It's Florida's answer to Joan Rivers before surgery.
You know, you mentioned Phyllis Diller. That's curious because I remember when she started out, she didn't look like. Anyway, as she got older, she did so much plastic surgery to herself. By the time she was 80, she looked damn good.
Well, you know something. If I had the nerve and the guts to let anybody cut me up, I would be first in line. But I don't like that. I'm afraid of needles. I'm going to go to my grave with all my wrinkles, whether or not people like it or not.
You don't need it. You have to wait till you get older before you do any plastic surgery.
Malcolm, I love you. Shall I do my opening line? Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, do it. Go for it.
Can we talk? See, after $100,000 worth of collagen, silicone, Botox, and Restylane, I've had a boob job, a nose job, an eye job, a tummy tuck, liposuction, laser. underneath all that nipping and tucking and pulling and gripping and slipping and slicing, I found Michael Jackson's first nose. Thank you. And that's how I opened my act. Not dirty. You know, it's just fun.
Now, how do you close the act?
Go ahead.
Now, how do you close your act?
How do I close it? Probably with a song, usually with a song. I integrate. You know, I do a lot of music and comedy together.
I'll tell you, I like your singing. I mean, I think you're very talented.
What, honey?
I think you're a very talented lady who is, and I've told you that often, that you're going to be discovered.
You're so funny, Malcolm. What decade do you see that happening?
One of our neighbors over by Harris is June Squibb. I don't know if you know June.
Of course.
June Squibb was nominated for the Best Supporting Actress in Nebraska.
Right.
She's 84 years old.
I used to see her swimming in the pool.
Yeah, she's been in show biz, you know, since she's, I think, in her teens and doing Broadway, and no one ever knew her name. Mm-hmm. Now I'm trying to get her as a guest on the show. She's too busy.
She's too busy.
She's shooting a movie now. I mean, I saw her the other day. She's doing another movie. Then there are a few television series that are after her. So you've got a lot of years to go before you're...
aren't you cute? You're cute. Well, you know, I don't have any high expectations anymore. I'm just happy to work. And at this age, I've done a lot in my career, so I don't want to retire. I heard you guys talking about retiring.
Oh, hell no.
I'm
going to
be
retire.
Like Dick Shawn. I'm going to die on stage.
I've seen
That's
people
where it's
who retire, and you know what happens to them? They get brain dead.
Right.
They really, truly
I can't
get
envision
brain
that.
Dead.
Well, I have a new career for you. I have seen, I was telling Stan how in Florida, since the advent of Viagra and Cialis, that a lot of the seniors have been having unsafe sex.
STD, is what
you're saying. Right. And I remember, was it last year, that the people came down to shoot a commercial?
And I was in it.
And you
remember?
Were in it.
Yeah, 70% of seniors get STDs.
And it was very funny because they were doing positions from the Kuma Sutra.
Yes, it's on the web now. It's called Seniors Safe Sex 4, the number 4 seniors. And we were all clothed. It was really funny. And I know you came down to watch, Malcolm. What did you think you'd see?
I thought I would see unclothed sex. But,
you're so
I was really disappointed.
Well, you wouldn't see me in that commercial, I'll tell you.
Well, I thought there might be a future in porn.
Oh, for who?
Malcolm? You've got to be kidding.
Oh, not for
Malcolm.
You.
He's such a comedian. Can we get back to what you were saying? just one thing about working, and I was thinking about moving to Las Vegas. That's what I wanted to share with you because I recently returned, you know. And I found the audiences fabulous. They loved what I did, and they accepted me. So did the entertainers, the local entertainers. They said to me, "Barbara, you're part of the family now." And I said, "Well, gee, it's a very funny community," and it just made me feel very good. A little bit different from Florida, and the way they tell you it's too loud before the music is on, and you want to say, "Screw you."
Do you remember Sammy Shore, the entertainer?
Yes, he's my friend. As a matter of fact, I have another point to make. I called him last week while I was
in Vegas.
Yeah,
he's in Vegas now.
Yes, I opened for him many times, Stan. And I just wanted to make a funny point because we were talking about animals. And one of my very good friends is, you were talking about it, but you were talking about it earlier on the show, I think, before I came on. Elaine Boozler is one of the funniest ladies I have ever seen in my life. And she's got a wonderful foundation called Tales of Joy. And she devotes all of her time after she's doing her jobs, all the proceeds go to animals. And I talked to Sammy. I said, "Sammy, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm retired. I'm taking care of dogs now. Everything is animals. Why is it that wonderful?" And who? And Doris Day. All of us kind of like migrate when they retire or they slow down to taking care of animals. And I think it's fabulous.
Well,
Go figure. Well, but I remember not too many years ago, I went to Tony Curtis's 80th birthday party. That was in Vegas. And yeah. they were involved, him and his wife, with horses, saving horses.
Isn't that great?
Well, they have that out west, the Mustangs or whatever that are...
Mustangs run wild.
Yeah. But there was a whole, that they were dying for some reason. Either they didn't have food or people were killing them.
For sport.
You know, show people have really such big hearts, and I guess they want to put all their energy into things like that. I certainly would do the same, although I'm not ready to retire. I am a dog person.
Yeah, but tell us, have you ever done the cruise line thing?
Many, many, many years I did. I was steady on Royal Caribbean cruise lines in the 70s. In fact, I worked with Rich Little and a lot of big stars at that time. They're still doing them, I guess, the cruise lines.
Yeah, well, we had Sarge on. He said that he...
Yes.
Do you know Sarge?
I do.
Okay.
He's a wonderfully talented, talented man.
Okay, you know what I want to ask you? You're talking about working in Vegas and working in Florida.
Yes.
It would seem like there would be a different type of audience in each venue. It seems like Florida is a lot of the New Yorkers who are retired, and Las Vegas would be a lot of the people from the Midwest coming out to have a good time.
Well, you have a lot of New Yorkers in Vegas, too.
I can't even explain to you the feeling that you get when you work for a Las Vegas audience. I just can't. I recently did Sam's Town, which is a casino in the Suncoast Casino in Summerlin, two venues for Desert Productions, which I've done in the past, and I repeated them this time. And there's about 1,000 seniors. They have a free senior show every Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Where's that?
Sam's Town and the Suncoast Casino. And they've had them for several years. The audience pays nothing. And there's about 1,000 people that come. You have to get your tickets way in advance. You just can't walk in. And they have several acts with wonderful live band. I worked with Bill Sane, who is the conductor for Clint Holmes, who is one of the best talents in the world, if you ask me. And he's doing that. And also Ned Mills, the other guy who does the music for Summerlin, Suncoast. I always get it dyslexically confused. Suncoast Casino. Ned Mills is Joan Rivers' conductor, along with many other stars. And they have great live bands. And the acts are all the top Las Vegas acts that people do. They actually promote what they're doing in Vegas. That's the reason they do it. I didn't have anything to promote other than the fact that I was asked to be on the show. And I was just so... emboldened by the attitude of the audience. I said, I'm going to move here. I got to leave Florida. I got to be here. They liked what I did. I'm coming.
Well, Las Vegas is definitely more alive than South Florida.
Right. Well, that's the point. The energy. The energy, Stan, is alive. It is not alive in Florida. And I don't want to put it down because I like Florida and I have a lot of friends here. But the energy is definitely retired.
It's a different kind of energy. One is relaxed and laid back, and the other one is on the move.
Yes,
well,
it is.
When I've been down to Florida, it's sort of like everyone that I've, there are groups of people who have been there, done that. They're sort of like jaded. It's, especially when they're retired, nothing excites them.
No, it's just they have a lot of activities, and they appreciate them. But I mean, it's not the same fervor.
They have a lot of activities where? In Florida?
Florida people, yes.
Shuffleboard,
Las Vegas
bingo.
Acts go from
they have art
radio
class,
show.
Pottery. Sorry? What else?
I'm serious. I'm saying about the Las Vegas people. They go from radio show to television show to the live show, and they're the residents. They absolutely eat up entertainment. And that's very good for a performer.
Las Vegas. I got to get this in real quick. My granddaughter is going there for some kind of a party because she's graduating college. So I said to her, where are you going? She said, we're going to the Palms. I said, is that the hotel where they all jump into the pool nude? So she didn't say anything.
I think that's where Paris Hilton hosts or something.
Yeah, but
it?
You didn't bring a bathing suit, so you know the answer.
Barbara, I have an important question for you.
Okay,
have you always been in this business as a comedian, entertainer, or did you have another life previously?
No, I started as a singer. I started on Broadway. My dream was to be on Broadway. And I went to the University of Florida for 2 years here in Gainesville when my parents moved here from Boston. I went to college and high school here. And I left after 2 years to go to New York because my dream was to be on Broadway. So I actually started out doing 10 Broadway shows. And then I did the Catskill Mountains. At the same time, I was doing Broadway, and then I was booked, like, for Australia and South America, doing nightclubs, doing a nightclub thing. I did put an act together.
And so, you don't have a Boston accent?
Nope. No, I don't, actually, because I think, I don't know why. I just don't.
You left early enough, maybe.
I left at 13, yeah, but the 10 years in New York, everybody thinks I'm a New Yorker because my stage name is Brighton. But
what is your real name?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that, Malcolm. You'll have to Google it.
Are you Barbara Brighton Beach?
No, I am not. I used to be Bobby Brighton, and then when I decided to do the talk show in L.A., this gentleman, Nate Esformes, wrote this for me, and he says, I think it's time for you to be Barbara. I think it's time you grew up. So I went back to my original name, and it changed my luck tremendously. So I'm now Barbara Brighton. That's it.
Okay.
So
good.
You ask me how I stopped. So the last thing I did, Stan, was stand-up comedy. I reinvented myself when people started to ask me to do comedy. And I started getting material. And then one of my agents said, why don't you do Joan Rivers? You look like Joan. I said, I'm not going to do Joan. I don't impersonate anybody. I'm happy being Barbara. Leave me alone. So she said, it pays such and such. And all of a sudden I went, can we talk here? I heard it very well.
Barbara, do you believe it? We're at the end of our time.
Oh, well, I hope
you're kidding.
Had a good show.
Yeah,
Malcolm, that's it?
That's it. Well, we're also repeated on Saturday at 2P and Sunday at 5P.
Saturday at 1.
I don't know. It's 1 or 2. This
Saturday
is all Pacific
at 1,
Coast time.
Sunday
so
at 5 p.m.
You go to the .com thing
right.
And you log in, right?
Anyway, thank you very much, Barbara, and looking forward to your next visit to L.A. so we can get together.
Yeah, thank you. And expect me not to be on the Chelsea Handler show, but if she calls, I'll
Well,
good.
You never know. Strange things happen.
You're listening.
I wish she'd call me. I'd be on it. Trust me, you guys are a dear.
All
thank
right,
you
call
so
us
much
when
for
you're
asking.
In Vegas.
Speak to you later.
We're back for the last few minutes. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here on CRNTalk.com, and I have with me in the studio Malcolm Berman, my producer, and we just wrapped up Bobby Brighton, or
Barbara Brighton,
as she now wants to be called, a very interesting guest with a very long career in showbiz.
And very talented.
Played in Broadway productions, did all kinds of singing, comedic acts.
There's so many entertainers out there that are really talented that we've really never heard of. And you go to Broadway or you go to a small show and you see these people and you say, oh, my God, how come they haven't been discovered? How come they're not known?
Well, I've heard it said that for every part out there, whether it would be in Broadway and stand-up or whatever, you may have as many as 5,000 qualified people for that one gig.
But what I just thought, do you think that we're ever going to be discovered?
Us?
Us. We're here over here in the subterranean studios over at CRN Talk. Do you think that there is someone out there that's going to say, hey, those are a great pair of entertainers or radio announcers,
Malcolm,
and we want you for...
My answer to that is, who the fuck knows? Did he catch it?
I don't know.
Or did he let it go by?
the phones are ringing off the air. Paul is...
Now you know what.
Paul is getting phone calls.
Paul knows I do that every once in a while just to make sure he's not sleeping.
And he's getting in trouble.
He's shaking his head.
We will not do it again. I will have the nun duly chastised.
All right. Stand. I consider myself chastised.
So it will not happen again.
Or at least not until next week.
In fact, he will go to confession this Sunday.
Yes.
Even though he's Jewish, but I don't know how that works.
Well, you
we got to speak to Rabbi Cutler about that.
Yeah, how's he doing since his operation?
I spoke to him last week. He seems to be recovering, and hopefully we'll get him back on the show with his movie reviews. And
okay, I sent him a message. I couldn't even get through. I just left a message on his answering machine. But you were able to reach him.
I was able to reach him.
You're better connected to God.
Well, I have a direct connection to God.
Okay, maybe that's why I couldn't get through to him, because I'm an atheist.
I speak to God all the time.
What's Paul saying?
I don't know.
Tone it down, tone it down. Okay, we're getting a little too rambunctious.
Are we getting too rambunctious? You can speak and you can be heard on the air. No, you don't want to. But your picture is being seen. So you know.
You mean Paul's picture is being seen?
Yeah, Paul. Yeah, look over here behind me on the TV screen.
Son of a gun.
You can make silent movies. You know, with your gesticulations. I like that word.
Gesticulation? That sounds dirty.
No, that's not digest. No, that's talking with your hands and your body.
Well, hands and body. Did you ever partake in premarital interdigitation?
We got to talk about that when we go off the air, because I don't think that's the topic. But anyway, I hear our music. How long do we have, Paul? We only have, you can't get the numbers out now. We only have 60 seconds
60
left.
60 seconds.
Well, you're all listening right to The View from Over Here on CRN Digital Talk Radio, carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. I think we should have a show next week if...
have a show. We have Joe Franklin next week.
But the censors might knock us off the air because of your foul language.
My profanity?
Your profanity. Oh. You can reach our show at www.viewfromoverhere.com. You can send your notices to Paul because he missed...
Send your profane notices to Paul.
And you can reach us if you want to reach Stan at Stan@viewfromoverhere.com. If you want to reach me, it's Malcolm@viewfromoverhere.com without the
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay, next week we'll be back with Joe Franklin, who's been continuously on the air since 1951. It's amazing. Until then, have a great week, and we will see you then. Say goodbye, Stan.
Bye. See you then. Adios. Hasta la vista. Next week.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.